We go to our daily segment of Tafsir of the Noble Quran, and we begin with the 49th Surah of the Noble Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat, which many of the ulama have referred to as Surah Al-Akhlaq, because it deals with the conduct of a believer. And Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah has stated that there are six narrations that have been cited as the background to the revelation of the surah. Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi has confirmed that all the narrations are correct because they all include the general meaning of the verse. And what we need to understand is that one verse can have ta'addud al-asbab, can have several reasons of revelation. Let's look at some of that. One of the narrators have reported that from Imam Bukhari, that some people from the Tamim tribe had come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and during their stay, one of the issues that had come under discussion was to appoint someone as a ruler over the tribe. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu suggested the name of Qa'qa ibn Ma'bad. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu proposed the name of Aqra ibn Habis. And both of them discussed the issue for a while, during which the voices had become loud. And that is when the verses were revealed, the initial verses of the surah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. All those who believe, do not proceed ahead of Allah and His Messenger, and fear Allah. Allah is all knowing, all hearing, and all knowing. لا تقدموا, do not proceed ahead of Allah and His Messenger. بين يدي, the phrase بين يدي means between the two hands. In front or ahead of, it means that don't go ahead or in front of the messenger. So here the general prohibition is that do not go ahead, meaning do not precede, do not jump the gun, simply said. That both had happened to raise their voices and sounded like they had a dispute. What they were to have done was to wait for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to give his opinion in the matter. This also includes that for those in the time of Nabi Salsam, that if he was walking, no one should overtake him. If they're sitting in a dining session, no one should start eating before him. If there's a clear indication or strong evidence that he himself wants to send someone forward, this would be possible. But there are other instances you have to wait for him to give you the directive. Like on a journey at times, Nabi Salsam would send people ahead, and that was the exception. Some of the ulama have also indicated that when we look at the injunction, and remember the Quran is revealed as a guidance for mankind up until the day of Qiyamah. And we continue to draw, to infer, to apply analogy and to extract from the Quran. And in that light, the ulama or the scholars of tafsir have said that in respect of an Alimuddin, a spiritual master, should be granted this position as he is the heir of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That one day, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu walk in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and he reprimanded and said, "You are walking in front of a person who is better than you in this world and the year after." And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The sun did not rise or set on anyone better than Sayyidina Abu Bakr in this world and the year after." This is quoted in the from Ruh al-Bayan, it's found in the Ma'rifu Quran. Now, using this as a basis, ulama have ruled that teachers and spiritual guides should be treated with similar respect. That you do not precede them, do not jump the gun. Going further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. That, O you believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. and not speak loudly as you speak loudly to each other. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. Least your deeds are wasted without you perceiving. So in this verse, there is etiquette that is being outlined. This is the second etiquette, and I'd like you to go along and enumerate. The first was not to precede Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The second is to not jump the gun, or not to raise your voice while in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this verse teaches the believers that they should not raise their voice above the voice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nor speak loud as one speaks to one another. And the voice warns that neglecting this etiquette may entail the nullification of one's virtuous deeds. Because this kind of disrespect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has serious consequences. And thus, when this verse was revealed, the blessed companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were very apprehensive and very cautious. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, from now till my last breath, I shall speak to you as if someone is whispering." And when this verse was revealed, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's voice became so low that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to ask him, "What are you saying? Please repeat." Thabit bin Qais, who was the khatib of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was a very eloquent speaker. Like we know that Hassan bin Thabit was the poet of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Thabit bin Qais was the khatib, and he had a very naturally loud voice. And when he heard this voice, he feared that his good deeds would be rendered futile. And it was for that reason that he would stay in his home. He feared that his good deeds would be rendered void. And he wept and he lowered his voice. And now looking at how do we infer this and how do we apply this in our present situation, one of the great scholars of Deen, Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi, said that the respect for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after his demise is just as compulsory as it was during his lifetime. Therefore, some of the scholars have stated that it is disrespectful to say your salam or to speak very loudly in front of the Rawdah Mubarak of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like that, it's also disrespectful to make noise where the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being recited. It's compulsory to listen and to remain silent. This unbecoming behavior to raise one's voice like that. And something that has happened, where initially there was the prohibition on the photography in Masjid al-Haram, and then in recent years there has been a free for all, people coming in front of the grave and, you know, on the phone and connecting and wanting people on different parts of the world to make their salam. And that is totally unbecoming, and there has been reports of the ban of photography in the holy mosques, and we hope that serves as a reminder for people and that they comply with that. Now, the Quranic injunction is 2 years. Do not precede ahead of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this applies to the ulama, the heirs of the Anbiya. Likewise, do not raise your voice above the voice of the messenger. That is also applicable to the great scholars of Islam. When sitting in the assembly, it is impolite to raise one's voice so loudly that their voices are suppressed. And an interesting part of the verse is that antahbat amalum, least that your deeds become void, that you destroy your deeds. Here what we understand from this, the clause that your deeds become destroyed, indicating that the Muslimin are directed not to raise their voices above the voice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the non-compliance of this rule will nullify their virtuous deeds. Now, what does come about from this is that the unanimous view of the Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah is that the only thing that can destroy one's good deeds is kufr or disbelief. No sin can destroy good deeds. The Quran addresses the noble companions and the believers, and addressing them as saying, "O believers," which goes to show that they are believers, not disbelievers. Now, the academic discussion is how that can their righteous deed be rendered void. So that is one. And the second point is that Iman is an act of free will. A person cannot be a believer unless he embraces faith with his own will. And by the same token, disbelief, kufr, is an act of free will. A person does not become a kafir unless he adopts disbelief with his own free will. And then in the end, Allah says, "Wa antum la tashurun," while you are not aware, seems to be against that principle that failure of good deeds is the punishment of disbelief, which ought to be the result of one's own free will. And the phrase showing that punishment lacks free will. So what we understand is here we're being told that very subtly this could happen to you without you realizing. Now these are some objections that may come to a person's mind if you reflect on this. In the Bayan al-Quran, it has been outlined that under this verse, O Muslims, avoid raising your voice above the voice of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaking loudly, because in doing so, there's a fear that your deeds may be destroyed. The danger in raising your voice above that of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lies in the fact that it is tantamount to being discourteous to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is the same as vexing him. It is unthinkable that the companions would intentionally attempt to hurt him. However, it is possible that certain deeds and actions are such that advancing and raising your voice without intention of hurting him could upset and offend Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and therefore all such conduct had to be absolutely abstained from and prohibited in the deen of Islam. So these are some of the points that we need to keep in front of us in terms of reflecting on Suratul Hujurat. And the first two points of not preceding and not raising one's voice, the common day application is when we present ourselves before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by the Rawdah Mubarak, and also the respect that we ought to show to the ulama, the true ulama of deen, the scholars of deen. May Allah grant us the understanding.